Welcome, listeners, to the semi-popular podcast known as Break for Frogger. Right, it's episode -2, I think, is what we were going to label it, weren't we?
Negative two.
Very mathematical all of a sudden. I am here with my broadcast colleagues.
Jordi Al.
And over the line.
Yes, out of the loneliest pipe, it's Ewan Taylor.
Out of last month's loneliness pipe.
Indeed.
The other thing that was going to happen, if you follow any of us on Twitter, you may, or if you listened to Break for Frogger before, you may have been sort of missing the voice of Tom recently, and I was under the impression that he was going to be on tonight, but sadly he's had to back out of it. I think Tom's got a bit of a case of the real lifes at the moment, to put it mildly. So he did say he probably wouldn't be on for the foreseeable future. There's always a chair open for him at the Break for Frogger table, but for now we're riding the three of us. So just to let you all know, I thought he was going to be on, but real life takes over. So yeah. We wish him all the best.
Indeed.
And for him to get well soon. But as I say, not for the foreseeable future. You'll be hearing his dulcet tones on this podcast. But anyway, moving on to brighter and better things. How are we all this month, boys?
Good.
All going well? Life treating you nice?
Yeah, I was treated to the dulcet tones of Mr. Philip Doyle on the other semi-popular podcast known as Sonic Ring recently.
Together, we're a wholly popular podcast.
We are. If we put ourselves together, like Transformers, we become one greater whole.
Yeah, exactly. As opposed to the great whole... No, never mind. That was going to be another Dave joke, and that wouldn't go down well, would it? That wouldn't go down well, especially with that Blue Oyster rig.
Sorry.
Yeah, anyway.
I love those films.
Anyway, right, should we get right into what you're playing then?
I guess we probably should.
We probably should. So, who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Go on then, Ewan. What are you playing, Ewan?
Well, I've played a couple of things. What I'll really focus on is the game that I think has got the most attention, not necessarily for the right reasons at times. It's the little thing from the studio that always could, that's Rockstar. It's Grand Theft Auto V. Now,
oh yeah, that tiny game.
Yeah, well,
little
it's
indie,
not really...
Little indie project.
That little indie project that's been getting a lot of hate mail recently because, well, they launched their MMO servers Grand Theft Auto Online, and to put it mildly, it's a bit fucking broken.
But was it not always going to be a little bit broken from day one?
Well, considering, I think you told me the other day that the maximum amount of people on World of Warcraft at one time was nearly 1 million, and at one point I think 2 million people were attempting to access GTA Online.
I think they anticipated 2 million on day one accessing the servers at once.
They kind of didn't realise that the game was going to sell millions, not just 2 million, more than that.
I don't buy that whole... The Rockstar quote that they've got that says, oh, Grand Theft Auto V has been more successful than we thought it would be. Rubbish.
Yeah. It's like, rubbish. Well, how successful do you think it's going to be? Like, oh yes, it'll be like, you know, a mid-level release. We're very successful for Rockstar, we're very happy with the figures. As a part of, oh my god, we didn't get enough servers, what the shit do we do?
But Rockstar have never done, to my knowledge, any kind of online MMO.
No, but that should have...
So...
I guess that's an excuse, but at the same time, they're Rockstar. They get this stuff right, generally.
Yeah, but you can't buy experience.
No.
And you obviously, you know, your Blizzards and things like that, and your EVE Online, they have the experience of having...
Exactly, they've had the experience of
X amount of people on their servers at one time.
They've fallen over before, and you know, people like Dave get very angry when it happens.
Exactly.
And you know, they don't do it again. But it was always going to be a problem, I think, with Rockstar launching GTA Online, and there's all sorts of horror stories, like people getting to like level 7 and their characters being deleted, money disappearing, character disappearing, save files being corrupted in single player mode. So as much as I want to get online and explore the world, I'm going to leave it probably a little while longer, just until, you know, the horror stories stop coming out and it's a bit more stable, because I imagine there'll be a patch coming soon for it anyway.
I would imagine there'll be a patch coming very quickly.
But going to the single player mode, which is obviously the mode that everyone's bought the game for. In most Grand Theft Auto games, you play as one character. Grand Theft Auto V is different because you actually, the same story is revolved around three different characters. You have the one character called Michael, who is a middle-aged man going through a midlife crisis, a former armed robber, and with a family that's not necessarily holding it together very well, and he's got a panache for, you know, the finer things in life, you know, guns, violence, alcohol, women, that kind of thing. There's also the character of Franklin, who is a young African-American in his mid-20s, just trying to find his way in life, but unfortunately going down the roads of, you know, gang life in a big American city. And then we have Trevor. Trevor is one of Michael's ex-partners who, now, I'm not going to spoil it, but it does play a major part in the story. Michael's double-crossed at one point, and we discover why later on, and Trevor, since his glorious fall from grace, has turned into what many people would call a violent, nonsensical sociopath. There are some incredible scenes at the beginning of your playthrough as Trevor, where you're just kind of like, this man is insane, and I love him for that reason. Some of the things he says, some of the actions you do, just some of the logic he has is just incredibly random, but incredibly fun at the same time. All three characters have their own kind of separate missions, but they all tie in with each other. There's one instance where, for example, you drive into one of the other characters' houses and you join their conversation midstream. If you were to play the character that was having the conversation, you'd actually hear the whole thing and then the other character would turn up. So there's a bit of continuity. So you could actually play through the same mission multiple times, playing as different characters.
Right, okay.
And pick up a little bit more each time, which is I thought was really interesting.
That's not bad at all, actually.
They've gone that far as to write in, you know, coherent storylines that make sense depending on which character you've got. So you've always got their perspective. It's not, you've got a big overall thing, then you walk in. You just walk in, and that's the situation you've got. And you might need to piece it together, you might get the whole thing. It depends on what's been going on before and who you're playing as. Now, of course, it's not Grand Theft Auto V unless you talk about the giant world that is Los Santos. This is one of Rockstar's biggest worlds they've given us to play in. It is massive, and I've not even explored the entire map yet. It is, you've got kind of big bustling areas of Los Santos, you've got the kind of out in the backwoods, you've got deserts, you've got beaches, you've got everything you could possibly want. You've got all the kind of vehicles you want as well. You've got typical cars, bikes, ATVs, quad bikes, you know, police cars, tanks, everything you could possibly think of. Including at one point, I decided to take a tour of the city in a golf cart I stole from the golf course. Because why not?
And
that's another major thing as well. As well as the main missions, you've got all the kind of usual things, such as, you know, missions that randomly happen. You'll get missions from your phone occasionally, but you could just like go sit and watch one of the films in the cinema. You could go play tennis, which the controls are very much like, if you've ever played Top Spin, the controls are very much like that. You could go play a round of golf, and you would be mistaken if you thought you were playing a game of Tiger Woods.
Cool. So it's got like integrated sub games kind of thing.
Yeah, sub games that if you just want to log in and play about, and even the gun stores ammunition. You could buy a gun, take it into the gun range, and learn how to use it.
That's pretty cool.
Any retro and also, arcades?
I've not found any yet.
Was it some older games had retro arcades, and I get mixed up with something else?
They did have their own kind of arcade machines in like.
Yeah, it's probably because I've not found it yet, but they probably will be somewhere.
There will be somewhere.
The thing is as well, every character's got their own different traits. For example, Trevor's great at flying but not so great at driving. Michael's great at driving but not so great at flying. So as you go along, you've got to actually almost level up your characters to get them to the level you need them for certain missions. So to do that, for example, driving, you can just drive about in cars. Flying, there's actually a full flying school you can go through that teaches you how to take off, land, do tricks.
Now the flying school was in San Andreas, if I remember rightly.
Yes, but this is a lot more kind of advanced and a lot more kind of...
I was going to say, because I remember getting really pissed off with San Andreas, because there was like a driving school, a boating school, and a flying school.
Yep.
And the flying school was the only one you had to do to advance the story.
Yes, I remember the mission you're on about.
There was one stage where you needed a plane, a particular type of plane, you needed a license to get it, and in order to get the license you needed to pass the school.
Yes, passing the school was like pulling teeth.
Fucking infuriating.
Yeah. Not good.
Was it like Pilot Wings?
It was not less fun than Pilot Wings.
Pilot Wings is fun because if you get bored and you just slam the guy into the ground, you feel better about
yourself. Yeah, many times, yeah.
I've played about 12 hours so far, and I know that there's at least 30, 40 hours. Depends how much you want to play about with it. Mm-hmm. But there was one night where Lara, my girlfriend, was around, and we decided... Lara said, have you picked up a hooker yet? Which... Your partner asking that question is quite strange, but then she realised she was talking about the game, so I thought it was okay.
In context, that's okay.
Yeah, in context. Outside of the context, it's a very awkward conversation.
Yeah. It's a strange question for your girlfriend to be asking.
Well, yeah, you know, unless you've seen those pictures. Anyway, I'm not David Miliband, sorry. Anyway, moving on. So I decided, no, actually, I haven't got a hooker yet. Let's go find one. So we scoured the streets and we found one. So we invited her into the car. We found a secluded location. And then we were presented with a menu that had the following headline. Please select a service.
Ooh,
and you can select, and you could select a $50 service, a $70 service, or a $100 service.
Mm. I see.
So you can only imagine what the difference between all the services are.
The mind truly boggles.
Well, the mind's certainly busy at the hooker anyway. But yes, so that's new. And also, the strip clubs, which is an aspect of Grand Theft Auto I didn't really pay too much attention to, but now they've made it to the point where if I'm bored, I will actually go to the strip club just to pass some time. There are a couple of things you can do. You can go to the strip club, you can get a drink and get wasted, you can go to the reel and admire the beautiful ladies as they do their stuff on stage, and you can actually now toss money out to the pit, so you can just press one button and just toss a dollar, or you can do what the game calls make it rain and throw $5 bills onto the stage.
Whee.
And also, if you want to spend $40, you can take the dancer of your choice into the premium lounge and get a private dance. Now, this unlocks another mini game where basically you've got to flirt and essentially caress the stripper without the bouncer guy noticing and throwing you out. And the more you kind of flirt and the more you kind of touch the stripper, the more she likes you. Now, if the stripper
really has never happened in my experience.
What, the more you're touched, the more your meter goes up?
No. If you touch them, you tend to get kicked out anyway.
Well, yeah.
I'm told. Sorry.
From my reliable sources.
That was a latent memory. Jesus.
Anyway. So, one day I just said, right, I'm going to try and get this bar right up to the top. And my God, I did. So, it got to the end of the dance, and a note came up saying, would you like to take a double chance? And I'm like, I wonder what that means.
Oh.
So I decided, yes. Then I was treated to a one-on-one lesbian strip show with two of the dancers in the show.
Beautiful.
Yes, so...
Was your girlfriend sitting beside you at this point in time as well?
Yes.
You have a very understanding relationship.
Yes, considering she was the one controlling the guy at the time.
Oh, right. Oh, cool. Well, okay, fair enough.
So, you know, she thought this was hilarious. I'm like, this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. There was a design meeting in Rockstar where they decided they wanted to implement more strategy to the strippers.
Yeah, there's probably some guy whose sole job it was to implement a minigame into stripping.
Yeah, so what'd you do at Rockstar? I work on the strippers.
I work on the strippers, man.
My life's pretty terrible.
Yeah, that's all he does. I stare at digital bums all day.
I fucking look at the tits and make the guys want to spend on the money in the tits, and then they don't get the tits because they're strippers, like. Grand Theft Auto V, there's a reason why the game is a BBFC 18.
Yes.
There's a million reasons why it's an 18.
Yes.
If you are a responsible parent, don't buy your kid this game, for the love of all that's holy.
They say that with every single one, though. They say that with every single one.
I know, but there was an incident at the midnight opening I was at where a woman tried to stage a one-person sitting because they wouldn't sell her the game because she brought her fucking underage son to the shop.
Oh, joy.
So it's like, yeah, she's buying it for me. And at that point, the person behind the counter in the game store went, yeah, I can't sell you this anymore because, well, I could lose my job and go to jail and be fined.
Yeah.
To which the local wasn't very understanding of the plight of the poor shop owner. And as someone who's had to work, you know, with licensed thing items in the past, such as, you know, alcohol and cigarettes, generally, losing your job and being fined and going to jail is one of the last things you want to do. Generally,
yeah.
The idea of leaving the store at the end of the night still employed is generally the goal.
Yeah, that's an evil idea.
This woman said, right, this is ridiculous, blah, I've waited in this line for an hour and a half, blah, 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 I'm not moving. So she didn't. And, you know, the shop assistant asked, look, you need to move, we're not selling you the game, we're really sorry, blah, blah, blah. Get me a manager. So they went and got a manager. The manager said, look, you have to move, you understand why we can't sell it, I'm not moving. So eventually they had actually hired security for the midnight launch. and the security made it no problem in removing her from the store and from the shopping centre as well.
I bet that security guard thought he was in for a really easy night and nothing was going to happen.
He was actually talking to me in the queue, and he said, yeah, it was, you know, it's quite quiet. I'm like, yeah, I know. You know, it's a game opening. You're looking at 200, like, people that have nothing else to do at midnight on a Monday night and stand in a queue.
Yeah. Oh, well.
So, but here's a fun game. I got there at 11:30. What time do you think I got the game in my hand?
I know when you got the game in your hand.
Well, let's ask Al.
Let's ask Al. Now, you're talking to someone with a bit of experience in this field. All right.
Okay.
I shall explain in a minute. But I reckon about 2:10.
Ooh. Not quite. 1:45.
That was with the game
pre-ordered.
Yeah, my experience was the midnight launch for the 1997 Newcastle United strip.
Ooh.
Yeah. I was in the queue till 3 o'clock and had school the next day.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
And That's not good.
I've still got that receipt with like 2:58 on it or something like that at home. Oh. Like midnight launch of the Newcastle top. There you go.
Was it, what, the 97 Newcastle United?
It was the one with the shield on the back, yes.
Oh, aye.
Where you put your number in, yep. That was the one.
Was it a woman who refused to leave the shop for that one as well?
I'm afraid not, no. It was.
I would have made that quite
there was,
weird.
There was nothing untoward that night.
Nothing untoward?
No.
So that's been my main game. I've got a whole pile of other games sitting there waiting to be played, but you know, PlayStation Plus keep giving me games too quick, and I can't get to them.
Exactly.
But I've also been playing a game that I seem to have made almost semi-popular. Last month I mentioned Papers, Please. I'm still playing it.
Oh,
it's still pretty good.
The passport thing.
That's
the
passport.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know of about 3 different people that have actually now downloaded the game as a result of listening to the show.
Yeah, there's about 3 people who bought that as a result of listening to you do your wee review on the show. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm waiting on my royalties check coming from the maker.
Yep.
But yeah, that's been about it.
That about it?
That's it, that's all I'll say right
Grand
now.
Grand Theft Auto 5 and little, and that's it.
I shall pass the mic on to whoever's taking it next.
It'll be Al.
Oh, you're coming to me already, right?
I'm coming to you already. Not on you, to you.
That was before. Right then.
Yeah.
Well, as you probably guess, mine will come from an old console and old games gone by.
That's perfectly fine.
Right. Was at Blackpool last 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And went on my favourite arcade, the Star Wars arcade. I'm sure I've mentioned it before. 1998, made by Sega, sit in a seat, joystick and everything, play through the 3 films. God, it's fantastic.
Is this like a full sitting cabinet?
Yes,
type of
yes.
Right,
it
okay.
hasn't got a roof on, but yes, it's a full chair you sit in.
Alright, okay.
I managed to play the game 5 times.
Really?
Bear in mind I was there 5 days, and I loved it so much.
Was this like a once a day thing, or did you play it twice one day, come back and play it twice another day, then one more?
No, no, it was
one more
once a day. I missed one day out, and I did it twice on one day. Literally.
What did your girlfriend say to this?
Well, she was watching me for a little bit of it and then playing other stuff, but it was hilarious because she messed up because I asked her to put the 50 pence in and it kept dropping down and stuff. And literally, I only had to shoot one more thing to complete the game, and that was me done. And it kept she pressed a button, which you never do. You never press a button. It speeds up the count, you know?
Yeah.
So she pressed that, and I'm happy. And it was game over. And literally, all I had to do was shoot one more thing, and I completed it. But rather than shout with it, I said, well, I'm going to have to do it again now. So just started it all again.
Right.
Which must admit, I wasn't that upset about, I must admit.
Fair enough.
That's all right, then.
Anyway, so that's what I've been playing. I love that so much. So out of a bit of a thing when she came back to mine, I thought, I'll show the comparisons, and I put on the Star Wars trilogy for the Super Nintendo, and was showing a level-by-level comparisons. And sadly, obviously the 16-bit, it doesn't hold the arcade, I'm afraid.
No.
The trench battle's not bad on the first Star Wars, but still not as good as the arcade. And there's one level I absolutely hate on the arcade, which is the Death Star Surfers off the Return of the Jedi, which is lazy, lazy game. It's literally the same as the first Death Star level, but with red fences up.
Okay.
And I thought, that's a chance for the Super Nintendo to beat it. But that level sucks balls as well. That's just awful version of that level as well. So no, it didn't.
All gone well.
I was showing like the Darth Vader duel, and it's like first person on the arcade, but it's like side scrolling on the on the Super Nintendo. I don't think she was as impressed by that. But anyway, that was that little comparison. She went to sleep by the time the end of it gone. So
yeah,
I thought you know what, I'm gonna go for me case of games, and I'm gonna play some I haven't played in a long time. And I was looking through, and then something caught my eye. That, despite being quite a retro classic in some ways, I don't think I've played this in about 10-15 years. And that's F-Zero, the original F-Zero.
The original Super Nintendo F-Zero.
Yeah. And I saw it and I thought, I haven't played this in absolute ages. So I stuck it on. Brilliant. And it's not the version where my records on, which I was good at. I think that was my friend's version I did all my records on. So I just did the first, is it Night, does it still call it Knight's Cup on that? I'm trying to remember if that's later on.
There's like Knight Emerald.
No, it's not Emerald, no, that's no. Pokemon. I'm sure it is. It King, Queen, and Jack, or is it
Did
Queen,
Pikachu come into some at one point?
No. So I did that with Mute City 1. Everyone remembers Mute City 1.
Yeah. Everyone's played Mute City.
And the thing, the best was the music. The music just took me back about 15 years. The controls are a bit ropey at best.
Sorry.
Does anyone remember? When, obviously, they could only animate four cards. Does anyone remember the shit cards that they used to send after you?
Yeah, the rest of it was made up of like generic.
Yeah,
kind of
it was.
Jobbers, so whatever.
Yeah. Now I put it on normal because I don't think I've ever. I always used to put it on easy. I thought I'm going to see normal and see how hard it is. Literally, there's just more of them bastards just clittering up the track so you can't get around. That was pissing me right off.
Did you use the usual how to get a speed start in F-Zero?
Yes.
Where you go straight into the path of the guy next to you.
And he bumps you.
And he rams you. Yeah. And then you accelerate from like 100 kilometers per hour to 800 within 2 seconds.
My game with F-Zero was to see how many corners I could cut by jumping over the barriers without dying.
Yeah. I did enjoy that challenge.
You do that
as well.
As well.
Which is fine until you miss and then you're just dead. And
then you just land, yeah, and explode.
I was on the old Death Wind level, you know, that was the favourite one for speed trials because it was just a complete circuit, wasn't it?
A complete loop, yeah.
So I was on that. And then Silence was the last one on that cup. And again, that music really, and the big blue in this, oh god, it was like nostalgic heaven. Anyway, I did it with the, was it the blue? Yes, I was just the standard blue Falcon?
Yeah.
I was just that one did it through, and I just never thought of it. It's one of them games that gets mentioned with F-Zero X and all the rest of it, but that's something not played for a very long time, so I thought it was about time.
Blue Falcon,
Fox,
Golden Fox. I can't remember the name of the pink
samurai. Pink Samurai or something. Samurai.
Pink Samurai just sounds a bit weird.
It was the Campmobile. It was the gay contingent.
Was it the gay contingent?
Yeah, they were from Japan. It was the gays from Japan. The Pink Samurai.
Right, yeah, wow. And then was it all Wild Goose or something?
It was an alien, I think.
That?
Yeah, the green one. It was the big tank armour one that you couldn't really knock at all, but it was quite slow.
Goose? Oh, God, I've got all these all off by art ones on it. That might require some Google later on, I think.
Anyway, moving on.
You and there's a job for you, yeah.
Anyway.
That's me. That's my retro. I could have an hilarious one for next month, but...
All right, okay.
Oh, sorry, no, hang on. No, I'll save that for me other bit. I'll save that for me other bit. Do apologise. Save it for me other bit.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay. No problem.
That's me done. Done for now.
Okay.
Are you done?
So
done for now. Don't worry.
I'm going to get through this tonight, aren't
we? I've got some stuff for later.
Okay. All right. Okay. Fine. It'll be mine then.
It must be.
It must be because I'm the only other person here.
Yes.
My playing in the last week has been taken up mostly with Mario Land 3D. on the 3DS, which is it's
right.
Basically like, well, it sounds daft to say it, but it's basically like a very, very a smaller version of like your Mario platform games and like the Wii and the Wii U and things like that. It is brilliant.
Right.
I'm really, really enjoying it. Now, I don't know, it's taken me, I've been sort of off Mario games throughout the kind of like latter stages. I think it started with Mario Sunshine. I
stopped in about 1992, I think.
Yeah. I think you did, yeah. I didn't really get on with Mario Sunshine at all. I don't know what it was, because it was just like, I just hated the platform section, so they took away the flood pack.
For a lot of people, Mario Sunshine was a departure to what they thought Mario was, and that was a problem.
Sunshine was good, and it looked great and all, and it had a good mechanic with the water cannon, but it was
yeah.
the levels that took away the pack, that took away the water cannon. And you had to do the pure platform,
oh, yeah.
And you went from suddenly having all this water gadgetry thing, and then all of a sudden, nah, it's just pure platform in this level. And some of them were just downright bloody infuriating.
Yep.
What was Paper Mario? Because
Paper Mario is like the offshoot. I'm trying to remember.
Because I saw it done, and I thought it was really clever, but I wasn't sure how.
Yeah, they've done a couple of Paper Mario series for.
You can go from, I think, is it like 3D to 2D or one plane
Yeah. Paper Mario plays with kind of the three dimensions you can play with. I've played the. I think I downloaded it on the Wii when I had a Wii. It's very clever in what it does. It takes full advantage of the idea that you're living in a 2D world, but you can like live in 3D. It's kind of like what Fez is, only not
there's
shit.
A review. No, I mean, in a kind of roundabout kind of way, Mario Land 3D does play a lot with the 3D aspect as well. And there's got a lot of the puzzles that are to do with the 3D and all that kind of jazz. And it's the usual kind of Mario thing. It's really joyous, it's really colourful, the music's fantastic. It's probably the first Mario game as well that actually encourages you to collect stuff and it not be pretty pointless, you know what I mean?
Oh, right.
I mean, usually I get really pissed off with collect this amount, but it gets to the point where you've got you collect these big stars, star coin kind of things, and the certain like levels at the end, like castles and that, will only open up if you have a certain amount. So each level's got three, so you have to go back and find them all. And it's not a bind in any way. I'm not finding that a kind of like, oh god, I've got to find more bloody coins. Because it's actually quite a good, you know, there's little bits where there's like little like jumps that you wouldn't otherwise be able to reach unless you time it right, and you've got to get your timing okay to actually catch the coin, and all this kind of stuff. And even when you've gone back into a level to get more coins, you'll only save them and have them in your possession if you reach the flagpole at the end. Again, so it's not as if you can just go in, collect the first coin, then back out again. You have to kind of get through the whole level again, too. Which sounds like a grind, but it's not. It's just because the levels are really, really well designed and really sort of joyous to play. It's just brilliant. I just love it. And once again, you know, leading on from what we were saying last month about Kyle playing a lot of Nintendo stuff, he's enjoying it as well. So it's kind of the game me and Kyle will swap the 3DS over and play with each other on. You know what I mean? And he keeps getting determined to find coins for me, so he disappears with the 3DS and then announces that he's found another three coins and he's happy, you know what I mean? That's great, and that's all you can ask for, really. That's all you can really ask for.
Alright, here's a question. Sorry, just on the subject of 3DS. You have a child. Would you give your child a 2DS? Or would you be so ashamed to give your child something such ill-thought-out?
I could see that if the 2DS rather was about £80, I could see the point in it.
Yeah, because if it wasn't like £100.
Obviously, because the 3D function's not. They do say it's not suitable for kids under the age of 6. So we could. Optical reasons as to why that would be the case, but let's not. No, it's not.
I don't think we should do that.
But it's kind of like if it was a cheaper version of a 3D, then that's fine. I would understand that, but I don't see why you'd want to. I mean, I asked Kyle, I said, you know, I showed him the 2DS and went, look at that, 2DS does, like, it plays 3DS games, but just not in 3D.
Yeah.
And he looked at me, like, really confused, and then went, why would you want that? Which I was like, well, that's a 6-year-old. Saying,
yeah, I was gonna say.
What would you do that for? I don't get that. Why would you not spend the money on? I think it's like, is it like £20 the difference? In, like, a 3DS?
Here's my thing, right?
It's something
like something silly like that. Here's what you do though: if you want to give your child a Nintendo console, give them an original DS, or give them a Game Boy Advance SP. They're quite small and expensive and play a lot of games.
I don't see why you'd want to play 3DS games only in 2D.
I don't know. It's clearly somebody in Nintendo's offices in Japan clearly thought this was what the public wanted, and once again, Nintendo just looked rather silly and it's like, yeah, we sort of thought about this, but then we decided that we didn't.
Nintendo
think
very rarely get it
so
disastrously wrong.
Just remind me on the price difference again.
Yes,
I think from what I can remember, it's about £140 for a 2DS.
Yeah,
you get a 3DS XL for it.
So you could buy an Xbox for that money.
So you're saving yourself 30, 40 quid?
30 quid,
really?
Maybe about it.
You said
it's not
really
that much of a big difference.
No,
big
it's not at all.
At all. It's, you know. And as I was saying, a lot of the aspects of Mario Land 3D rely on 3D.
So that would be a bit naff playing on
it. So it'd be a bit really naff playing on a 2D screen, you know what I mean? But, I don't know.
Try it, because you can turn it off, can't you?
Well, oh yeah, you got a slide on the side of the 3DS.
Just have a go and see how
I've had a go
really
of it, just to see, and it just seems...
It is naff, right?
Once you're used to playing... 3DS games in proper 3D and yeah. they actually use the 3D properly, then switching them into 2D mode just seems awfully flat.
Right.
And it just seems pointless. Like, there's levels in Mario Land 3D where you've not only got bullet bills going across the screen, but you've got bullet bills coming towards you as well.
Oh, right.
And they go, you know, and all this kind of stuff. That would just look rubbish on a 2D screen. And I just don't see the point. And as I say, Kyle's just rejects the idea out of hand. Yeah, so there you go. What else have I been playing this month? FIFA 14 arrived. Yes, I know. I'm, you know,
of course.
Hated. I'm an IA shit gamer for wanting to buy a football game of you.
No, I don't mean it like that. I mean it like, you know, it's come out, and of course, you know, it's like me.
Yeah,
I've got NHL
exactly.
14,
it's,
and I'm addicted to it.
I like football.
It's horrifying.
I'm crap at football in real life. I like playing football games.
Yeah, I don't play ice hockey in real life because, well, look at me.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'd rather play it on the screen where I could stay inside warm and
but
happy.
But no, FIFA 14, if I'm honest, it's just the same as 13 with a roster overhaul, really. I know I'm the type of person that EA love because I get a bit twitchy about playing football games if they're out of date. As far as the roster goes, I like the fact that I can open up FIFA 14 and, oh look, Mesut Ozil's at Arsenal and...
I suppose you can get patches and stuff.
I'm the exact same as
well. Exactly.
Like, oh,
exactly. Every team's
that's
in the right
nice.
Division and all this kind of stuff. I like that.
Yeah.
Apart from that, there ain't a lot of difference, really. I think it's started to look a little bit rough around the edges as well. I think they're probably going to start concentrating on the Xbox One and PS4 versions now.
Yeah, I think they're kind of... They've done what they can with the PS3 and Xbox 360. I think really now you're going to see the next big difference
exactly,
when Xbox
exactly.
One and PS4 come out. You're going to look at it and go,
much,
I need one of those
much.
Right now.
But
give
I mean,
me.
it does everything that FIFA does. It's a little bit kind of smoother, and I think there's a little bit more emphasis on... They've got like a close dribbling thing now. You can actually control the ball close up. And I think they've kind of emphasised that a lot more. Like, you can't really just choose someone
fast
good. And just belt through everyone. You have to kind of use a bit more build-up play.
Yeah.
Which is fine. But no, I started a managerial mode, as I usually do, with Newcastle United, and I've had to basically fend off every team on earth, what in Papa Cisse, basically. And I've set a price tag of 12 million, and then we might talk, but no one's offered over 6.5 yet. So they can get stuffed.
All right.
Because I'm keeping them. That was a bit for FIFA 14, and whilst I was buying FIFA 14, I also managed to purchase Far Cry 3 for a fiver, which I'm not really got into yet.
Woohoo!
At the moment. I'll probably talk about it more next month. I will say that it does seem be loaded with racial stereotypes.
We don't do that in Break for Frogger.
We don't do that in Break for Frogger at all. No, we don't.
No, we don't. We're not fine, upstanding
podcast. Racial stereotyping. But it does. I will say it does the whole island survival gone wrong thing better than Tomb Raider does, definitely. Because Tomb Raider was just awful.
It has
got the similar thing of though. I can appreciate how they try to basically take the idea that this holiday with this guy and his friends has gone wrong, and they've been captured by this gang of hoodlums and outlaws on the island, and now. The remaining survivor gets involved in all kinds of gang warfare on the island and all this kind of stuff, but it's the transition. And Tomb Raider did the same thing. They make a big thing at the start of, you know, oh my god, I couldn't kill anyone. Oh god, I've never shot a gun before. No.
Yeah.
And Lara's like, the same in Tomb Raider.
she goes from, oh my god, I shot someone.
In the space of shooting one guy in Tomb Raider, she's happily popping arrows into people's foreheads 5 minutes later.
Popping arrows into people's heads, shotgunning people, strangling people from behind. I wish life was like that, because I'd like to snap
exactly.
into that without, you know,
so
any
what you're saying is after she slept with one man, she's a whore. Does that apply?
No, I didn't say sleeping.
Right.
There's no sexual liaison involved.
I just thought, you know, that same principle may apply, that's all.
Not that enough.
All right, then.
Thanks,
dear.
Right, so also, I'll probably talk about Far Cry 3 more, because I have literally had about an hour on it, and that's it. The last game I want to talk about this month, which I'm quite excited about, and I was waiting for this to come onto the Google Play marketplace. Anyone remember an old Super Nintendo game called Shadowrun?
I think I've got the walkthrough for that.
You probably have.
In an ancient magazine.
Ancient magazine. Well, there was a they had a Kickstarter campaign. Some little some company, I think it was Harebrain Schemes, they're called, had a Kickstarter campaign to fund a sequel to Shadowrun on tablets and phones and things like that. And it succeeded, and this is the result. It's Shadowrun Returns, and it's £6.49 on
Google Play. Is it better than the rebooted WrestleFest?
It's miles better than in kind of like a reboot.
That was terrible.
Yeah, I know. As far as reboots go, originally an old idea and bringing it up to date, yes, it's far better than that. It owes a lot to kind of tabletop gaming, because you get a certain amount of points and you can use those points to move or reload your gun or fire or whatever.
So you mean
if you're in combat,
Warhammer and stuff,
yeah, kind of a similar idea. But it's basically, it runs on the premise that it's a cyberpunk sci-fi game, but it takes a lot of elements of fantasy RPGs. Like, there are elves and orcs and dwarves, and magic exists. You can still do magic. So it's this kind of fusion of fantasy RPG in with cyberpunk, and it clashes together. It molds together quite well, actually. The controls are just all, as I say, on the touch screen. I'm playing it on my Google Nexus, and it's really, really good. It makes you appreciate what can be done on a tablet. Because I got to admit, when I first got my Nexus, I was a bit skeptical about gaming on the thing. I thought, it'll be good for the internet and things like that, and you know, and apps, but gaming wasn't so sure. But it is actually genuinely really, really good. As I say, I'm not that far into it. I think I'm on about scene 3, I think, which is probably about 45 minutes to an hour into the Shadowrun Returns. But it's already sort of winning me over. It is genuinely really, really good. A lot of customization on the characters as well, between what weapons you want to go as and how you want to look. And as I say, a really, really nice art style as well. Really good art style.
Alright, well, I'm actually looking at it just now, and it's currently $6.52, and
I'd pick it up.
I think I'm picking it up.
It's really, really good. I think it seems to have different episodes as well. I don't think it's got like one long campaign.
Yeah. No, I think it's chunked into chunks deliberately, so you don't feel like you have to sit for hours and play it. You can
I think
play
it's
it
all
bus,
like DLC as well.
So
you'll pay a little bit extra for extra episodes. All right, I think once they get them made and that. So
it's really good.
So it's wholeheartedly like Shadowrun Returns, because it's. I mean, I didn't play the Super Nintendo original a lot. I enjoyed it when I did, but I think it was one of those games that didn't really get a wide scale release. I think it did in America. It got a pretty regular release in America.
It's one of these ones.
The PAL version was that forthcoming.
Yeah.
So I think it gained that whole thing of being a game that was loved by few and liked by many.
Yeah. It was loved by the people that got a hold of it, but not a lot
exactly.
of people got a hold of it.
Exactly.
So a lot of people appreciated what it was.
The sequel is fantastic. Now it's a bit more accessible. I would wholeheartedly recommend Shadowrun Returns.
Good.
Charity shop game, but buying games.
Yes.
It's not from the charity shops this time, a bit more upmarket
a bit more upmarket. So you're not haggling in Oxfam anymore?
No. Okay. I say haggle them. I haggle them at £45 or something.
You didn't haggle them very well.
A quick note before I start. I think, if I remember correctly, the pink cars, the Firefly, and the Samurai is the guy who drives it, if I remember correctly. Does that ring any bells?
Might be right, actually.
I think so. That was just the dregs of my mind.
That had been in your head for the last half an hour?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Right, two games. I went to my local Games Emporium, I call it, down in Newcastle, my little shop, to get two games. Operation Winback, I think we briefly talked about this.
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
Operation Winback. It was all right. I didn't play it enough to warrant it, but that was only £8. That wasn't too bad. And a surprisingly game, Tom and Jerry Fist of Fury. It's not the first thing involving a fist and a cat, but still, it's it's a bit like
no. Anytime you have to ask, can you edit this bit out? No.
sometimes I'm so bad I laughed at myself. Anyway.
Al, to be honest, Al, that's quite tame.
Right, back to me, catfishing
with Alan Milburn.
That sounds like a show that Alan Titchmarsh is presenting. And welcome to Fisting with me, Alan Titchmarsh. Coming up next, I'm going to slap some grannies in the face.
Right, back to Fist of Fury. Stop at you. It's like Street Fighter.
Whoa.
Wait, hang on. A Tom and Jerry game.
Yeah, it could be Tom, Jerry, Spike the Dog, and it's one-on-one fighting.
It's a one-on-one Street Fighter-esque.
It's in 3D, which makes it a little different.
What the hell? What console is this on?
N64. Yeah. And I found it surprisingly entertaining, actually, yeah.
What?
Yeah. You can interact with, the backgrounds as, giant hammers and, like, Tom and Jerry-esque equipment to, help get your opponent's health down and stuff, and it's surprisingly fun.
I have no recollection of this game at all.
Well, I haven't even until I bought it and played it. It's rare-ish, I think. I paid 13 quid for it boxed. It seems quite fun. Yeah, it's surprisingly fun. I think I expected it to be really bad, and it turned out to be quite fun.
That's okay then.
So I enjoyed that. Anyway, I quickly run down a list of bad wrestling games I've bought recently, including Nitro, Thunder, and I say a bad. It's not really Power Move Pro Wrestling.
Oof. Oh, what?
Power Move Pro Wrestling?
No idea.
On the PS1?
Nope.
It's just full of jobbers. It's not like it's like made up title. But when you do grapples, it turns into a game of rock, paper, scissors.
Oh.
And it's like it's got strike, submission, and power move. And each of them beat the other one, you know what I mean? Like rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah, depending on what, which
is an interesting concept, I think. I'll play it in more detail and maybe do it in a couple of months' time. But yeah, Power, it's often a forgotten game on the PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
Where else could you play as Area 51? I mean, come on.
Exactly.
Anyway, that's enough of the bad wrestling games. I went to my Emporium and saw something I've never seen before. A Japanese adapter for the N64.
Oh, man.
I know they existed, but I've never got one before. So, £15. Thought it was a bargainable price. Although I have read online, if you buy Japanese games,
all right,
apparently they won't fit in your Nintendo slot.
No, there's some weird thing they do.
Apparently the rumour is, if you can saw the bits off the game, you can get them to fit in your N64.
You're not going to do it to your expensive Japanese game.
I did, 15 quid, got the adapter.
Just buy an adapter.
Online, what can I buy? I can buy any game out there I want. So I bought Superstars, International Superstar Soccer.
Yeah.
which is true, I've already got, yes. But I want to play as Australia, and they're not on the UK release of it. And it's very wisely took out Scotland as well, so... don't worry, it's took out Wales and Northern Ireland.
Unacceptable!
So I bought that. Is it? I can't pronounce Jaikudo. What's it called?
Jaikudo.
It's called number 3, and that's and then I bought the one afterwards, which is equivalent to Superstar Soccer 2000, and that features the J League, sort of Japanese Premiership type thing as well. The best one bought, Virtual Pro Wrestling 2, which apparently some people say it's even better than No Mercy. I'll believe it when I see it, and that features Big Van Vader.
Yes, it does, because it's. They have the All Japan license in that game, so you can play as every single All Japan. So you can play as like Kenji Muto if you
guys
want.
Are on it. Takamichi Inoki's on it.
Yeah, they've got the full licensed All Japan roster, but
you can edit into
things.
English as well, which helps. You need a hack. I was hoping it would just be a menu to do it. I hope so, because I'm gonna struggle.
Well,
I'm gonna struggle reading the bloody screen enough as it is.
Yeah.
I
ordered the game on eBay from Japan, and I got this very broken English email back.
Right.
To tell me.
Oh no! Right. Yeah. You've got to tell us, what did these emails contain? He's laughing already,
I can do this
folks.
Without laughing, but anyway, basically, it was. I can't do the voice.
Don't do any voices at all. You.
It was pretty much like
just say your normal voice.
Thank you for purchase game. Ship soon. game shipped might be in custom or something like that, wasn't it? Custom. So it was.
I think the general gist he was trying to say is he's pushed it, but he wasn't sure how long it would get take to get through UK customs.
I think he's been on Google Translate or something by this email.
Maybe.
Yes, something
what, you've
like
got
that.
Email
and to
fish.
His credit, it came quite promptly. And yeah, I was. It's in the house. There was no booklet with it, but I can't remember whether it stated had a booklet with it or not. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Well, to be honest, what would the booklet in Japanese
yeah, so there's,
do
there's
for
no
you?
Booklet with it, but I thought, hey, it's. It looks pretty. It looks pretty decent. And the only downside to this whole segment is. I can't play any of them because my N64 and the adapter is in
Newcastle
and all my games are here in Carlisle, so that's the downside.
Soon there will be a beautiful union between the two.
Next month or so, I've got a feeling I'll be having some Japanese fun. Yeah, pretty much. Pretty
so really
much.
This was just a tease for next month.
You are the
TNA of podcasters.
The Japanese game wasn't bad. It was about £24, which I don't think is too bad for it. But I have... went on a quest for another game. This is an American game, American only, I believe. Again, I'll save that for next month.
Right.
But cartridge is around £20. But if you want a box and instructions, you're looking at about £100. I don't get.
What game is it?
I'm saving that for next month. But I don't get. I don't
So what game is like £20 for a cartridge and then £100 if it's got the box and instructions?
That's a quiz. Send your answers to, and.
Send your answers to Jordy Allen Twitter, and if you do, you get the correct answer, you win one free internet.
I can organise that.
So, yeah, that's for next month. I've ordered it. We'll see if it comes. Hopefully it'll play, and I'll do a bit on that next time. But that's pretty much wraps up my Emporium/Nightmare quest. It's
your quest for strange games of years gone by.
So I'm glad my Japanese game came through. That was a bit of a worry.
Yeah,
as to where it would go in the postal system.
Made it through UK customs. They know it's not bestiality tapes, so you're all right.
Yeah, it wasn't catfisting this time.
No,
so.
Not catfisting with Alan. Catfisting with Alan Titchmarsh.
No, and not even in Japanese pro wrestling.
This
bundle is
called the episode "Catfisting with Alan Titchmarsh." Now. Just to see that it's like something Charlie Brooker would write. Anyway, it does sound like some of TV.
Yeah, I was going to say it sounds like a Black Mirror episode.
Right. We've had a couple of tweets of questions to ask.
I like this interaction. Good stuff. Keep
it
up.
It's good interaction. Yeah, we need more interaction.
Right.
More interaction.
I must admit, I only liked 50% of the questions, but never mind.
Yeah. Well, one's a reasonably sensible and level-headed question, and the other one got your favourite games this generation.
I thought that was coming, yeah.
The first question is from Mentasm, at Mentasm, Mr. Ian Watson, who says...
all right.
Is... Jordy Allen mentally deficient. That's it. That's all he asks.
I don't think it was very nice.
Not very nice.
I think he's referring to the fact that the RoboCop versus Terminator shenanigans from last time.
Yeah,
really?
that did get a lot of debate on.
Hang on, but you checked the price and you know I didn't really overpay for it. So is it just the fact I wanted this game full stop? Or?
Well, I think it's the fact that you actually actively looked for this game, and when you found it at the price it was at, you thought to yourself...
And then you said, I need an instructions
book.
Well, you can't have it incomplete, can you? I mean, come on.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. The answer is no.
So the answer is no.
I am. I'm very enthusiastic about my...
He's just very enthusiastic about his medium.
The other one was from our good friend Fury.
Yes.
Our good friend Fury. I must, by the way, point out that... the Console Ninjas podcast did give us a nice wee mention at the top of their show a couple of episodes ago. So we return the favour here that if by some strange chance you're listening to us and you're not listening to Console Ninjas as well, then we recommend going onto your iTunes and searching for Console Ninjas and downloading their lovely tones. They too have a token Englishman.
Oh God, is that what, that's what I am, isn't it?
Essentially, yeah.
Yes,
you're just here to represent the minorities.
Oh
well, you're a total.
I made that Scottish football draw before, and I'm outnumbered. Yeah,
now you're bollocks. Anyway,
Tom's not here, even though Wales isn't on the game
Welsh.
Either. It's not in the game either. Yeah. So,
but his question was, what's been your favourite game of this gen? Because bear in mind, it hadn't occurred to me until Fury actually sent me that tweet that this will probably be the last episode of Break for Frogger. Before the PS4 and Xbox One come out,
it will affect my life immensely.
This is it. This is the final month. What,
this is
four
it.
Or 5 weeks to go until the PS4 and Xbox One are in the UK.
PS4 is like second week in
November.
Xbox
One's not a week before, isn't it? Is it not the 21st for Xbox One? Then like the 28th.
It's the first week. I don't remember.
PS4. There's a week difference. In the tail end, it's in the second half of
November.
Oh,
yeah, you're right, you're right.
Yeah, it'll probably be like December by the time we do this another report.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I just ask you an informative question? You said that the next console's coming out.
Probably.
Does that mean WE 14, is that going to be done on a one, or is it just stick to normal Xbox?
No, at the moment it's just...
They're not bothering to probably still next year.
PS4. Right,
that's, I wasn't sure.
They'll probably put 15 on the new consoles next year. So he was asking us what was our favourite game of this gen. But he also made a special dispensation for Al by asking him what his favourite 16-bit game was.
That's hard to say.
Of the understanding that Al won't have played anything this generation.
When I was asked that question, my answer was Turtles Arcade.
Yeah, a game that was downloadable from 1989.
But still on this console.
That's fair enough, that's fine. Okay, right. So Al's current gen is Turtles Arcade.
That's true, okay.
Ewan?
I'd
say Mass Effect 2 would get a shout for me. I wouldn't say Mass Effect series as a whole, because I didn't really play the first one. I did the comic book downloadable thing to get the decisions on it, and Mass Effect 3 I'm kind of still playing. Dishonored would probably get a mention for me as well, because I love Dishonored.
It's really difficult for me, because I would hate to say one thing.
You think you're spanning back 8 years.
Yeah, I played that a while ago and it was that.
You know what I mean?
Just for the experience and what I took from the game, I'm going to give L.A. the Noir some love here. It's one of the few games that I couldn't stop playing. And as much as people picked it apart, as much as people didn't believe it did what it promised, for me it delivered, you know, something different, something enjoyable, just a really fun experience. I guess as well, another game that I think was overlooked a little bit was Enslaved.
Enslaved, actually.
Yeah. See, this is what I mean. Exactly, I don't want to say my definite favourite is X, because I'd have to sit and think about it for 3 days.
For pure mileage out of it as well, I'd probably say Skyrim.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Skyrim.
Yeah, I've not played that, but I can understand that. I'm actually scared for the day PlayStation Plus just go, right, here's your November update, here's Skyrim, we'll see you in July.
But no, I'd say for pure... for hours pumped in. It was fairly recent, because I only got Skyrim about 6 months ago. I did not get it on release at all, because I genuinely thought, it's just a fantasy game about dragons. I'm not going to like this, because I'm more of my sci-fi stuff.
I'm not going to like this, etc.
Like when I used to frequent Games Workshop back in the day, I was always a Warhammer 40k guy rather than Warhammer, for that reason as well. But it was... Skyrim. Love it. Absolutely love it to bits, because it's got that Bethesda thing of... You can just pick a direction in the map, wander over there, and you'll bump into something happening within a few minutes.
And still wandering.
So I'd say Skyrim, Mass Effect 2, and Dishonored.
Just when you say Skyrim, I've now got Game Wank Jim's Skyrim song in my head.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I've only just got Scott Real out of my head.
Have you heard this, Al?
I do not believe so.
I'll play a game review, or Tam McLeish's review of DuckTales before you go tonight. Yes. Right. Keep that in your mind. Woohoo!
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Prepare to have that song.
Prepare to have your brain invaded for the next 2 weeks.
Okay. So, any more, Ewan?
So, I will actually put on my Twitter as soon as I come up with something. So that gives you an excuse to follow me and everyone else on the show.
Exactly.
For the ensuing fight/flame wars.
At Wandering Ewan. Yes.
Ian's
he's good. It's lots
do
of
that.
Ice hockey.
I'm very nice.
As well.
Unless I've.
Indeed. Alan can be followed at.
Well, I'd like to do this question, but obviously we're doing Twitters now.
Oh, right. I thought you'd told. I said that. you know, what's the best 16-bit game? Because you won't have played anything this gen. And you went, well, Turtles Arcade. And I thought that was you answering the question.
That was this gen.
In a riposte.
That was this gen console.
Oh, right.
But
okay.
Not my favourite 16-bit console.
Okay, your favourite 16-bit. Go on.
I feel my moment's been swept away from me.
Well, I'm sweeping it back at you.
Right then. 16-bit. It would have to obviously come off Super Nintendo. It wouldn't come off any not Mega Drive, anything like that.
Right.
I love the Star Wars trilogy. I quite like playing them. Obviously, Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat, I'm sure everybody played quite a lot of.
Some
unusual, slightly unusual Super Nintendo titles. Super Pro Protector?
Yep.
That wasn't too bad. Obviously, Turtles in Time made it onto the Super Nintendo as well. Did like that.
Yeah,
but I think of all the 16-bit console, all the 16-bit games on there, there's literally only got to be one winner for me, and for sheer lostability,
is it going to be Super Mario World?
I mean, what sort of game is still going after about twenty years? I still play it. So
it is testament to its design.
That's the only thing. That's got to be that one. Got to be. So okay. There you go. That's my favorite 16-bit
Super Mario
game.
World.
Yep.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, there you go. That's the feedback for this month.
There you go.
If you do, I'll start with the Twitter feeds again.
That's that.
If you do want to pose more questions for the next recording of Frogger, it's either at Wandering Ewan, at Geordie Allen, or I'm on there as at Cripple H. 1P. Otherwise, it doesn't work like a wrestling joke.
But any nice questions,
any nice
are welcome.
Questions for Al.
Yes. Any bad questions will be named and shamed on the show.
Expense, yes.
Probably yes. Yes. I think that's all the business this month, then.
Possibly, yeah.
We, as I say, we'll probably be back.
I think so.
All going well before Christmas. We're kind of doing these on a very easy and relaxed basis at the moment.
Yep.
It's not anywhere near the rigid every 4 weeks that we used to.
Yeah.
We try to attempt just basically when we can all get round and gather together, basically.
But it's good fun.
It is good fun. I think that's just about all, really. Yes, that's it. Right, in which case, we will see you
next
episode. Arrivederci.
Adios.